You know what's a lot more fun than thinking about how to best pay off student loans? Thinking about how rich you're going to be one day in spite of your student loans. That's why we started the Financially Free Era podcast. Financially Free Era, if you search that term on any podcast platform, you're going to find it. It's hosted by my colleague Megan McGuire over at SLP Wealth. And this podcast is where we dive deep into all the things you want to know about how to be wealthy one day. How do you best maximize tax loopholes and write-offs? How do you best invest money? How do you make smart money moves in spite of even a very large six-figure student loan balance that are going to get you where you want to be much sooner? Go follow the Financially Free Era podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. I promise you, if you like Student Loan Planners podcast, you will love Financially Free Era by SLP Wealth. Search that term, follow the show, you will love it.
Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner podcast. My name is Lauren Williams, and you might not have heard my voice in a while. I know I've been making myself a little bit scarce lately, but I am a OG member of the team. I've been on this SLP team since 2018, and I've been doing a lot of work recently behind the scenes, managing our current team of consultants, and then also managing customer satisfaction. Travis is out this week. He's at a conference, so you just get me, but I think I'm fun and exciting, and you enjoy this podcast just the same. I'm also a new mom, so I've been getting a grip on just juggling all the things. So grateful for the support of the SLP team during this time. But you can expect to hear more from me because now I feel better about juggling all the things. And shout out to all the moms who are juggling all the things. I thought it would be cool if we just went with an update from the trenches today. While I am managing the current team and also doing customer satisfaction, as mentioned, I am still doing consultations. And so I am part of those boots on the grounds, keeping up with what's going on, the ever crazy happening changes. And I thought it would be just nice to kind of walk through some of the case studies of what I've been seeing lately. So I've got something for the PSLF people. I want to talk a little bit about consolidations. I, of course, will have something for the Parent Plus people. And then, you know, for everybody else that's going for regular forgiveness, because that's probably still the bulk of federal student loan borrowers. So got a little tidbit for everybody. And yeah, I'm just going to give it to you live from the trenches of what we're seeing right now in real time. The first case I want to talk about is my PSLF case that came and the PSLF pandemonium in general. This young lady came to me and had 20 months of forgiveness, and then she wanted to leave her job. She was really, really excited to get this done and get out of the way. The reason she booked the consultation, because she felt like she had done something wrong, trying to figure out like why exactly they had not counted some payments. And it turns out that she had NIH grant. So if anybody doesn't know what the NIH grant, it is for medical professionals who pursue a career in research. And what happens is you can apply every 2 years, and then they give you a grant of $12,500 per quarter. The cool thing about it is that federal tax are covered, but state tax are not. So it depends on where you live, you know, whether you have state tax, and you can keep reapplying for that. And some people use that just to get their loan balance to zero. This particular young lady was not using it to get her loan balance to zero. She was just taking advantage of it to use paid ahead status, which a lot of people don't know what that is or how it works from a PSLF standpoint. Paid ahead generally used to be a bad thing. And then they made up a rule fairly recently saying like, hey, you can pay ahead and we're not going to penalize you for that. You can pay ahead up until the IDR recertification date. So let me give you an example. If you recertified your IDR and your monthly payment was, let's say, $100, and then you paid $1,200 at one time, well, that would count as 12 separate monthly payments for the year. So you wouldn't need to make another payment for the next 12 months. But if you need to recertify your income, you know, 6 months from now, as an example, and you paid that same $1,200, you just would have overpaid too much. It wouldn't still go ahead for 12 months. So you can see why paid ahead would be a really cool thing to be able to do if you're getting these $12,000 quarterly amounts applied to your account. And so everything was going fine. Everything was going as planned. She had received this for quite a few different disbursements. And then all of a sudden, they took the disbursement of $12,500 and applied it all to one loan, the loan with the highest interest rate, and the other loans didn't get any credit. What makes this even weirder is that when you go to log into her PSLF dashboard, the payments are nowhere to be found. So if you're a PSLF pursuant or is it person that is pursuing PSLF, that's a better way to say that. When you log in, you see either qualified payments, eligible payments, which means they are eligible to be qualified, if you fill out your ECF form and update it, or they're just flat out ineligible. But all payments should be accounted for via those three methods. And we've been seeing this with quite a few people. There's dates and months that are just completely missing. So I do encourage you, if you haven't logged in to your dashboard and you're pursuing public service loan forgiveness, to log in and check, you know, month by month that you they didn't miss anything. Because the one that I'm seeing most frequently is like July of 2025. And I have no idea why, but it's not consistent across the board. And so this young lady, all these months, they have zeros when she logs into her Mohele account. But then they're not marked as eligible, ineligible. They're just nowhere to be found when she logs into her dashboard. So we can't even say that they're not necessarily qualified. But like I said, they've already qualified these in the past. They've already applied this payment appropriately in the past using paid ahead status. So what did we do? We needed to file a complaint with the CFPB. And then we also filed a complaint with studentaid.gov. So yes, the CFPB is still up and running. They actually updated their website recently. And now you have to kind of like create a login and, you know, to file this complaint. That wasn't something you had to do before. And so I'm optimistic that someone still works there because they were affected by, you know, the big changes that happened in the administration. And we thought it all but didn't exist anymore. That used to be a better place to file a complaint. So if you're having student loan issues, you can also go to studentaid.gov/feedback and file your complaint there. And they say they'll get back to you within 15 days, but we have not been seeing that to be true. Honestly, I don't know if we sent both of these complaints into the abyss. We did file a complaint with the CFPB and with studentaid.gov because this is just wrong. You know, they were applying the payments right. PSLF paid ahead status is a thing. There's no reason that she shouldn't have been able to take advantage of it. And the payments are just completely missing. And so these are the real life things that are happening to people. You know, they're desperate to get out of a job that they don't like, or they're excited to start a job that they really do like, you know, after providing 10 years in public service. And because of these administrative nightmares, these problems are holding people back from being able to do what they want to do. Even if they were marked as ineligible, she could have been able to say, hey, I want to go for a PSLF buyback instead on these payments, you know, like, at least they're somewhere. Let me try to buy them back. Well, the problem with the buyback is that the current rate that they're processing buyback, it would be 41 months before your application was actually processed and that you heard back from them. And you don't know what you're going to hear back, whether they're going to approve you, deny you. We also still don't know, you know, what happens if you've been in forbearance or deferment for more than 12 months. For those of you that are sitting on save. And so it's super duper frustrating for a lot of people. I'm hoping that at some point they will get a fire under their butts and people won't actually have to wait 4 years to hear back. Because what's that going to result in? Most people are going to have to keep paying because save is ending and you're going to have to choose a payment plan and you're going to pay enough payments that you would have paid the loan off, or not paid the loan off, but made enough payments for PSLF where you could just sign up for regular PSLF without using the buyback process. So yeah, it's still yucky. It's still ugly in the PSLF world, but stand by, stay alert, log into your profile, make sure you're filling out your ECF form on a regular basis. ECF is employer certification form for those that don't know. Make sure that you're your own advocate because unfortunately we can't count on a Department of Education to do it in a way that's, you know, just simple, nice, and the way that it should be done. All right. So that's my PSLF case for you guys. Next, let's talk about consolidations. There's a consolidation deadline looming. It is June 30th of 2026. July 1st of this year, they're going to start implementing the various parts of the OBBB that has come out and is going to make a bunch of changes to the student loan system. For me, I am stressed out about this consolidation deadline because people will either consolidate on time and get what they need and know that they need to consolidate, or they will consolidate after the deadline because there's so much misinformation out there and they will ruin their chances to be able to participate in various plans. So let me tell you what I mean. If you consolidate anybody after June 30th, or if your consolidation is not complete, let me be very clear, by June 30th, then you will be subject to the new rules because your loan is going to be disbursed after June 30th or July 1st or later. And then you will be subject to the OBB rules, which basically means for those who have regular student loans, the wrap plan or the standard tier plan. And for those who have Parent Plus loans, just the standard tier plan. And it's really, really crazy to think of that, but that is the way that it's going to be. And so why am I afraid? Let's say as an example that you're eligible for new IBR. New IBR is a 20-year plan that almost always is the best income-driven repayment option. It offers 10% of discretionary income on a monthly basis. And like I said, a 20-year term, whereas the old IBR is 25 years and the wrap plan is 30 years long. So you would literally be adding 10 years if you only had the wrap plan available to you. You borrowed exclusively after July 1st of 2014. You're eligible for new IBR. And then for some reason, you decide to consolidate your loans and it disperses after July 1st of 2026. Instead, where are you going? To the wrap plan, which now added 10 years of payments before you will be eligible for forgiveness. The whole point of getting on these income-driven repayment plans is to go for forgiveness after the time frame. Why would I want to pay for 10 years more if I don't have to? Almost never mathematically does it make sense to do something like that. You know, I say almost because there's those few rare cases. But yeah, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't be good. And that's going to happen to somebody. I'm going to have to deliver the news in a consultation that you lost something amazing by doing a consolidation after that date if rules don't change. That's thing number one. You have to know whether or not you need to consolidate. It may be completely unnecessary at all, and you may still be fine. But if you do need to consolidate, it needs to be done before June 30th of 2026. The other people this has significant implications for, I'd say even more significant implications, is Parent Plus borrowers. So Parent Plus borrowers must consolidate in order to get access to the IDR plans, which there's currently only, well, I'm going to say there's 1.5. So if you have Parent Plus loans right now, you need to consolidate your loans, make one payment on the ICR, Income Contingent Repayment Plan, and then you can move to the IBR, Income-Based Repayment Plan, going forward. Why is this important? You need to be on an income-driven repayment plan to pursue public service loan forgiveness. So if you're a Parent Plus borrower and you don't consolidate your loans before this deadline, don't get them done, and then you decide to consolidate them after the deadline, guess what? You don't have any income-driven plans available to you, not even the wrap plan that I was just talking about. And so you've just lost access to public service loan forgiveness. And this is probably the most terrifying thing. I like literally lose sleep over it at night for borrowers, because what if you're 8 years into public service loan forgiveness and you make the mistake of consolidating some loans together and it disperses after July of 2026? You've lost all access to IDR plans, which means now you need to pay back on a non-income driven repayment plan. And you've also lost access to PSLF if you are pursuing it. So if you're a Parent Plus borrower who's not pursuing public service loan forgiveness, you would still like to be able to get forgiveness. And so this is also a big deal for Parent Plus borrowers, because some are in the middle of borrowing. So you have kind of like the opportunity to stop borrowing and, you know, lock in the old rules. But if you continue borrowing, yes, you will be grandfathered into being able to borrow enough for your child to finish their education. But at the same time, you'll be paying those loans back in full if you continue to have loans dispersed for your child. And so that is a huge decision for people to make. Like, wait, what? My child's a sophomore in school and I can't borrow any more Parent Plus loans if I want income driven. Yes, that is actually how it is. And if you decide to keep borrowing, the only option you're going to have is what they refer to as the standard tier plan, which is going to result in you paying the loans off. It's not cost efficient. And I mean, it changes your outcome dramatically. So because of this, we're seeing a flurry of people that are trying to consolidate ahead of the deadline. And I think that as this news continues to come out and people start to become more aware of it, it's going to be more and more, you know, pushing up April, May, trying to get the consolidations done. And the hard part about this is you don't have any control over how long it takes for consolidation to be complete. And my biggest fear for any borrower who wants to do this is that, you know, they try in April and they usually say 60 days. So it takes all of April, all of May, you're safe. You try in May, takes all of May, all of June. You could be safe if they get it done before the 60-day line. But remember, more people are going to be starting to do it. So what's that going to do? Slow down the processing time. And honestly, this could be a tactic. You know, they could just slow down the same way they've slowed down the PSLF buyback process and push people over to the July 26th deadline, forcing you onto wrap, even though, you know, you applied well in advance. And so I'm nervous for people to consolidate even starting in April. Can you do it? Yes, but I'm going to explain the risk to you so that you understand, you know, the different options available based on your particular situation. And then last but not least, as I'm going through this consolidation piece of the puzzle, the other group that could benefit almost surely from consolidating before this June 30th deadline are borrowers with HPSL loans. Those are loans that many physicians or dentists have. They're serviced by ECSI. So if that's your loan servicer and you have a 5% interest rate, it's pretty much a shoe-in that you have these HPSL loans and you're paying them outside of the federal system separately. You don't realize sometimes that they are eligible to be consolidated into the federal system and then in turn become eligible for IDR forgiveness and or public service loan forgiveness, which is a big deal because otherwise you just pay that one loan off and you have two different student loan payments every month. The other piece about HPSL loans is that it, you know, just simplifies life in general because now you don't have to pay two different places and they're all at one servicer. So if you think you have a HPSL loan, you might want to look at doing a consolidation before the June 30th deadline. On to my long-term forgiveness, folks. How's it going for you? I know it's frustrating. There's still no tracker. There is no dashboard. We don't see any signs that there will be a dashboard anytime soon. I'm crossing my fingers and my toes that it will show up at some point. How can they not let people know when forgiveness is coming? How do you just have to guess or, you know, wait for them to tell you like, okay, we feel like you've received forgiveness? Which the other big thing that's happening this year is if you get forgiveness in 2026, you're going to be one of the first people to have to pay this tax liability. So we still got a year to go yet or, you know, what, 10 months. People will get notice that their loans are forgiven this year, but they'll get that 1099 in the mail in 2027, which will affect their 2026 taxes. But we're going to see for the first time ever this tax bomb that we always refer to actually being implemented. So you want to stay alert if you have a really long history of repayment and you think you're close to your 20 or 25 years, watching the news, understanding what's happening from a tax perspective there. We're hoping that it's going to go away. But a lot of you are, like you said, not anywhere close to that forgiveness. You know, we're a ways off. The first set of people were supposed to get forgiveness, I think, in 2034, before all the different waivers that President Biden put into place, which kind of hit the fast forward button for some people. And so where is everybody right now? Well, I can tell you where my sister is. And I bet some other people are here, too. They have their head in the sand. I asked her today, hey, like, what's going on with your loans? And she was like, I haven't logged in ages. I don't know. And I'm not going to worry about it. So we don't know what's going on with my sister's loans. And other people feel like that as well. There's been so many pauses and stops and starts. People are just frustrated. And you're just like, I'm going to wait until you tell me I absolutely have to do something before I actually do something. To the best of my knowledge, she's on save, which means interest started accruing for her in August of 2025 and her loan balance is going up. So yes, I will be having a talk with my sister about getting her butt moving and getting her head out of the clouds, if you will. But there's a lot of people like that. And like I said, I know you're frustrated, but it's time to get moving. It's time to be thinking about what you need to do from a student loan perspective, because we can't just wait until they kick us off of save. I mean, you can, but it's not the most cost efficient thing to do to wait till you get kicked off of save when you know that there's something else you need to be doing. The other thing I'm seeing with those of you that are going for forgiveness and really for everybody with federal student loans right now is, you know, trying to figure out this tax season piece of the puzzle. So the hack is to use your 2024 return because most don't have their 2025 return done yet. And generally, you know, assuming that income is going up every year, your 2024 taxes is lower than your 2025. If you're still in that in-between phase of thinking about like, oh, I'm sitting on save and it's probably time for me to get off, this is a really good time to get off before your 2025 taxes is done so that you can tap into the 2024. The other hack that you need to be thinking about, because with student loans, we always got to be thinking ahead, is that maybe in 2025, you made more than you're going to make in 2026. And that's because like 2025 was a full regular year and 2026, you're having a baby. Or 2025, you got a really big bonus and 2026, no bonuses will be had. Or, you know, they paid out the bonus early or was a sign-on bonus that you got in 2025. Whatever the case may be, we know that 2025 year is over and you know what you made. And you also have some inclination of what you're going to make this year. So the other hack to be thinking ahead is like, maybe you get to 2027 when they usually would be using your 2026 return. But if your 2026 return is not done yet, they would use your 2025 return. But in this example I'm giving you, your 2025 return is much higher than your 2026. In which case, what do? Hurry up and get our 2026 taxes done so that we can skip to 2025 altogether. Everybody's thinking about taxes right now. Like I said, it's tax season. Get yourself organized. But if you're a student loan borrower, don't maybe hit that button to file the 2025 just yet until you know what you need to do and what's going to make the most sense. You know, also Mary filing joint versus Mary filing separate. Key piece of the puzzle. A lot of people maybe benefit from filing separately, but don't have the money set aside to pay the extra amount that they might need to in taxes, because mostly it's less efficient to file Mary filing separately from a tax perspective, but it can have huge benefits from a student loan perspective. One other thing we've been seeing that I wanted to bring up is recertification dates and this kind of idea about letting the Department of Education pull your tax return automatically. We've gone back and forth about this, about whether it's okay to let them pull it automatically. And it seems, like I said, they're kind of waking up over there. The sleeping bears are, you know, done hibernating and coming alive. And what we've seen is a wave of clients whose recertification date, specifically in June. So we've got other months, you know, where are the people with February, March, April, and May? I don't know. But with recertification dates in June that have given permission to have them automatically pull the tax return, and they're recalculating the payment. What we have not been able to tell yet is whether they're just recalculating the payment really early and it's not going to take to effect until June, or if they're recalculating the payment unnecessarily and changing it over automatically for people. So you definitely want to log into your account, see what's going on, be checking your emails. Of course, as we get data points from clients, we will be telling you all. But this has been a little bit concerning because, like I said, it's usually 90 days before, which were more than 90 days before June. And so we're like, why are they doing this? And then, like I said, we haven't seen any other months. So like, what about the people who need to recertify in May? Why have they not been notified? Or, you know, it's just weird that the data set that we have, everybody was a recertification date in June. So, you know, stranger things we've seen with the Department of Education, but this is why we got to stay tuned and make sure that we're ready to advocate on our own behalves. Frequently, when I get someone who's going for a long-term forgiveness, they get on the call and they're super frustrated about just, you know, the overall system. I had someone recently who was just telling me, like, you know, I'm here because I feel like I've messed everything up. I feel like you're going to tell me that there's not really a light at the end of this tunnel, and all I can do is the best I can do to just like kind of stay afloat going forward because I've messed everything up so bad. And I, you know, started to listen and walk through the file and everything with this client. And there's not really a mess up per se. It's just that there's a lot of misinformation lately. So one piece of the puzzle is people think that they messed up by not recertifying their income. This client was super frantic because they're like, I haven't given my income in years and I kind of feel weird about it. And I think I've done something wrong and I don't want to be cheating and I feel I'm getting in trouble. They were on Pay As You Earn. Some people have had to recertify their income on Pay As You Earn. And then there's others who have not had to recertify their income on Pay As You Earn because of all this crazy stuff going on. It's just the luck of the draw. And so nobody reached out to them. They were still on a $0 payment on Pay As You Earn because their income had not been updated. And their recertification date was coming up in August. So they get to keep that $0 payment all the way to August. And they were reaching out because they were like, I feel like I need to recertify my income, but I'm also scared of what the payment's going to be. And so I'm so glad that that person reached out because, you know, if they had recertified their income just because they were afraid, what would that resulted in? A much higher payment right now when they could have kept this $0 payment all the way till August. And we know as people who are going for long-term forgiveness, our goal is to pay as little as humanly possible toward these loans so that we can get the maximum amount forgiven, so that we're only paying a percentage of what we borrowed, probably what we feel like our actual education was worth when it comes out, you know, comes out in the wash all in the end. And so don't feel stuck. Don't be afraid to reach out and ask someone a question, even if it's not us. Do some research, read the blogs online, get some information. But before you make an action, make sure that it's the right action based on your specific situation, because what your friend is doing is not necessarily what you should be doing. And signing up for an income-driven repayment plan, if you're one of the people who's been stuck on save, or just like I said, haven't had to recertify in a while, a lot of people are just nervous about how to do it. There are people who graduated into COVID, did it only once, had no idea, have never had to do it again. And then there's everyone else who's, you know, maybe not done it in 2 or 3 years. So just simply having someone to walk you through like what it looks like to sign up for an IDR plan can be something that is so relieving. I did that with a client this morning and her screen wasn't working. So I was like, hey, what are we going to do? Yeah, I wanted her to be able to share screen so we could walk through the process. And then I was like, wait, Lauren, you got this. Like, one, she can read and tell you all the information. But two, like, you've done this a million times. So I started to walk her through it. And I actually got like, I'd say like I'll give myself like an 85% B of just like knowing like, okay, now you're on this screen. You need to click these two buttons. The next screen is going to say this. And then the next screen is going to say this. So I have it pretty much memorized, the signing up for an income-driven repayment plan process. But for a lot of people, they're just like, I don't want to log in. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it by myself because I just don't trust the government. I don't trust myself. I think I'm going to make a mistake. And we are here for those people, each and every one of you, because, yeah, this is stressful. It shouldn't be, but sometimes it is very stressful. So my summary for those of you that are going for long-term forgiveness is keep going. If you're on save, get off so you can keep going. Start earning credit toward forgiveness because otherwise you add those payments on the back end. So right now you're not making payments, but what's going to happen? You know, that's prolonging your time until forgiveness in the future. And what's going to happen in the future? You're going to make more money. So you're going to have a higher payment on the back end than you would if you just got going right now. Don't stress, pull your head out of the sand, talk to someone, and take action. All right, last but not least, my Parent Plus borrowers. I did already give you guys a little bit of a shout out in the consolidation area, but I want to circle back to you all because what I've been seeing the most as far as my Parent Plus borrowers is people who are just shocked and even a little bit skeptical about the double consolidation and not having to do it. So yes, the double consolidation was a real thing. It was awesome. And we recommended it tons and tons and tons. However, the current rules do not require that people do a double consolidation. What do you need to do instead? You do one consolidation, you make one payment on income contingent repayment, and then you can immediately be eligible for IBR. So this makes it a lot easier for you. And it's really scary to have to do a double consolidation right now with those deadlines that I just told you all about. Imagine if you consolidate it, we're, you know, end of February, beginning of March-ish. So all of March, all of April to get the first consolidation done, then all of May, all of June to get the second one done. This is actually a really good thing that you don't have to do a double consolidation. And most people's loans should have been disbursed if you're in the middle of borrowing for your children. So usually it's like the end of January that last semester disperses. And so you should be able to get that last round of loans in before the deadline. And like I said, be doing the consolidation right now so that you can get that done and out of the way and know that you're well ahead of the June 30th deadline. Remember, it is highly likely that you won't want to borrow going forward. Everybody's situation is different. Yes, you can continue to borrow going forward, but it's likely that you won't want to borrow going forward because you will lose access to income-driven repayment plans. And so I want to give you the real life situation and why I really like, I just want to punch somebody who created these rules. Because this is, like I said, this is people's real lives. Each and every one of you is important. Each and every one of you has a unique experience. And we're all trying to make the best financial decisions in a really crazy time. Let me give you an example. This gentleman had four Parent Plus loans that were unconsolidated. And then he had $300,000 that had been previously consolidated using the whole double consolidation process. And that $300,000 of debt had 63 PSLF payments. So the four unconsolidated loans didn't have any PSLF credit. They're just finishing up now and, you know, haven't earned anything yet. And then there's these 63 payments for the big loan. They want to continue pursuing public service loan forgiveness, but also he really wanted to retire ASAP. And when I say ASAP, he had an actual like, oh, June 2028, I want to be retired. The problem is, even with the 63 payments, the math didn't math for him to be done by that time. So now he's thinking about like, hey, do I want to, you know, postpone my retirement date so that I can get this PSLF forgiveness and get these loans off my back and have a, you know, a more tranquil retirement. But that means, you know, like I said, I had this date in mind and I need to change my mindset to be able to do that. Or if he consolidated all four of those Parent PLUS loans that were unconsolidated with this loan, he could have taken advantage of weighted average, which would have brought his loans down to 52 payments, setting them back even more and adding more on to retirement. That's a hard decision to make. I've worked my whole life. I'm ready to retire. You know, I have given a lot. I borrowed on, you know, behalf of my children to make sure that they were taken care of and made that sacrifice. And now I'm being asked to, one, postpone my retirement a certain amount. And then two, because of this other set of debt, you know, postpone it even further into the future. For some people, the answer is no, I just don't want to do that. I've earned this. I'm done. And so what would be the alternative for this gentleman is to go for regular long-term forgiveness. And so, like I said, 63 payments for PSLF, you know, 63 payments also for long-term forgiveness in his particular situation. And so do you want to go, you know, for 300 payments? Do you want to go for, what, 360 payments? What does that look like for you to have these loans hanging over your head kind of for the rest of your life and all through your retirement? And then also his spouse was not ready to retire yet. So he would need to do Mary filing separately in retirement because we don't want the spouse's income taken into consideration. We want a nice low payment, you know, to reflect his retirement income and, you know, to allow him to be able to enjoy. So we got to make real life decisions. We got to think about like what is right and wrong because, you know, there was a very clear mathematical, like public service loan forgiveness is the best thing to do. But as I said, we're real people here. We got real lives. We got real goals, values, things we're trying to pursue. And just because it says this is answer A is the most cost efficient thing to do, doesn't mean that it is the best thing to do for you in your particular situation. I said it the other day in the newsletter, but I feel like I should say it here too. Is like, I want you all to understand that like sometimes we have to make imperfect financial decisions. You do what's best for you in this moment, even if it doesn't feel ideal. And then you reevaluate the circumstances as the policies evolve and all these different things start to happen. Everybody is doing the best that they can to make the most of what they have and use money as a tool to be able to live the life that they want. I want that for you all. But that comes with, you know, sometimes putting on our big girl or big boy pants and just saying like, yeah, like I said, this is not fun, but I'm going to do it. And when I got to pivot, I'm going to put on a new pair of pants. I know, not the best analogy, but I'm doing the best I can here. So for me, the moral of the story today is there are still very unique things that are happening out there. There is still student loan planning to be done. You should not be waiting for all the changes to happen to then set up a consultation. You should be booking to figure out what's right based on your particular situation. And if you've been there, done that with us before, I think probably, I don't know, I'd say if I had to guess, 20 or 30% of our volume right now is follow-up consults because people are wanting to check in just to make sure that they're still on the best path based on all these changes. So don't be afraid to invest in yourself yet again, just to know like, hey, yep, you're still doing the right thing and have that peace of mind because sometimes that in and of itself has value. It's called financial planning with the ING because it is ongoing. And I just want you guys to know that we are here to support you as all this crazy stuff happens along the way. As I said, you'll be hearing and seeing more of me. When I say seeing, if you're watching from YouTube or you are a YouTube follower, you will be seeing some videos there as well. Like I said, I'm back in the saddle and I'm excited to be able to help you. That's all I got for you today. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
Are you on the free Student Loan Planner email list? If yes, you can upgrade your experience and discover student loan loopholes so good, they might get repealed if I talk about them publicly. Find out my very best thought leadership that I really just can't be super open about anymore, unfortunately. If you want to get our very best tips, not just the ones that I can share for free, go to studentloanplanner.com/insider to get a special discount for your year membership. That's studentloanplanner.com/insider and get our very best dozens of bonus content and tips that's going to save you money and get you out of student debt faster. And if you're already an SLP insider, please reply back to those emails and let me know how I can make it even more valuable.